الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحج أشهر معلومات سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم A few years back there was a incident which caught the news and which caught all of our attention, which was the tsunami. Now, what was interesting about the tsunami, and perhaps I've mentioned it previously, is that much of the death that occurred in that event did not occur with the first wave. Now, if you recall, the tsunami was when this wave of water came and overtook the various land where it had set, and many people were killed when the tsunami occurred. But actually, the majority of the death that occurred, if you go back and look at the way people described the death, actually what happened was first this wave came, this huge wave came, and all of a sudden it took over the shore. Now when it took over the shore, people were completely shocked. And then it receded, and people said that they saw bodies, thousands of bodies actually going back with the water. Now after it receded, people who were away from the shore visualizing this event actually then approached the shore to help the people that were there. So there were a second set of people that actually approached the shore in order to help the people who were hit by the first wave. And when they approached the shore, a second huge wave came, bigger than the first. And it actually took all the people that had come down to help as well. And that was when a tremendous amount of life was lost. If you go back and read the relations that people, or the narrations that people have concerning this event, that was when a huge amount of life was lost. SubhanAllah, this actually is just one example of the way by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created nature. Same thing happens in earthquakes as well. You know, when there's an earthquake, there'll be a jolt, and there'll be some degree of damage that will occur. Now, after that initial jolt, everybody knows that you have to watch out and be careful in the next 24 hours because there can be aftershocks. So there's this huge force that just shakes the earth. And then, for the next 24 to 48 hours, the concern is aftershocks. Meaning, was this first jolt just a hint of what is to come, or was it actually the event itself? And often what will happen is that there'll be an aftershock that'll even be greater than the initial jolt. So this happens in earthquakes, it happens when there is an eruption of volcanoes, it happens in the tsunami. This is a natural phenomena that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created within the universe. Of course, that's one example. That's an example of the damage that occurs and the destruction that can occur through the forces of nature. But on the same spectrum, but on the opposite end of that spectrum, is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy also comes in waves. And sometimes one hit or one wave is actually a sign that the next greater hit or the next greater wave is actually going to come. Now, to understand this concept, you actually have to understand the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves the universe. And subhanAllah, it's incredible, the power of Allah, the majesty of Allah, the might of Allah, that He takes this whole universe. You know, we think about the room that we're sitting in, and it awes us. Then we think about the city that we live in, and its dimensions, and it can awe us. Then we think about the entire country, think about the continent, think about the globe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is moving the whole universe. Now, in the movement of the universe, the way you have to understand the movement of the universe is twofold. So I'll just give you an example. You see these windows here, right? There's a window, there's another window, there's another window, there's another window. Okay, so there's four or five windows against the wall here. Just pretend for a moment that these, each window represents 1 year. Okay? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the universe and moves it along something called a timeline. And that timeline has a definite span. So there was the first year of creation, then there was the next year, then creation goes through the next year, then it goes through the next year, until finally it reaches some end of the spectrum, at which point creation will dissolve or dissipate or be destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such that none of this will remain. Right? So this is all basically a countdown. All right? It's basically timed, and it's timed to detonate. The entire universe is designed to detonate. All it's doing is counting down notch by notch. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the universe from that one end of the spectrum. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the universe to rotate so that every single rotation of the universe moves it one notch closer down the timeline. Okay? So actually what's happening is the universe is rotating, and that's amazing. Just the rotation that occurs within 1 year is amazing. But every single rotation moves the universe one notch along the timeline, such that eventually the whole universe will detonate, and then the Day of Judgment will be established. So this is sort of the big picture of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power, of His ability, of His majesty, of His strength, that He moves the universe in this particular way. Now, just as I highlighted to you that in these natural disasters, there are waves by which the disasters occur, in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's movement of the universe actually is a movement of the universe through waves of mercy. Now, those waves of mercy, they occur notch to notch to notch, and at the same time, they occur within the individual rotation, which we call 1 year. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shook creation and just allowed His mercy to span out across creation by creating it to begin with. There was nothing here. There was no concept of even anything being present. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shocked the universe by creating the universe. Imagine the Big Bang and all these theories that people have. All of this was just so incredible. It was Allah's power, Allah's majesty that brought this whole universe into being. Now, with that initial shock came aftershocks. And those aftershocks were the sending of prophets by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every set of notches, let's say maybe the universe went through 400 notches, which is a timeline, 400 years, and then all of a sudden Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have sent one messenger. Now that messenger was an aftershock. Allah's mercy created the universe, and then an aftershock of His mercy was the sending of a messenger. And then even within the span of a single messenger, there was another aftershock in that He would reveal a book upon that particular messenger in the case of select messengers. So aftershock after aftershock after aftershock came, and we call these the sending of various messengers. Until finally the entire... Now look, when the messengers were sent, they were sent to one locality, right? So one messenger was sent to one group of people. That group of people was shaken by the mercy of Allah. Then another messenger was sent hundreds of years later to another group of people. That group of people, that locality was shaken by the mercy of Allah. Until finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He not only shook His people, He shook the whole universe. Because He was sent to not one group of people, but to the entire world. And He was not sent for one particular span of time, but till the Day of Judgment. So you can imagine the shock that occurred with the sending of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that shock that occurred within the universe at a particular notch. But he also, through his being sent, basically detonated aftershocks that are to be felt every single time the universe goes through one click of its rotation. And that is the second way by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His mercy upon the universe. Think about it. Just imagine in your own mind the way the world turns. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, and upon him was descended some incredible mercies, and the mercies were not particular to his time or to his place, but were to be set in revolution, such that every single year these mercies would re-arise. For example, we know that right before the month of Ramadan, the month of Sha'ban comes. And in the month of Sha'ban is the 15th of Sha'ban, which is a very, very special time. And you can go back historically and you can look at the greatness of that evening, the greatness of that time, even the greatness of the month of Sha'ban in and of itself, in that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw it as a time to welcome Ramadan. So every single year, after the passing of the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every single year, the universe, the whole universe is rotated into the month of Sha'ban. That moon of Sha'ban is shined down upon the earth, and the whole universe gets forced into the month of Sha'ban. So again, now we're feeling the aftershocks of the mercy that was descended upon the community of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time of the Sahaba. And every year we hit that mercy. Every year we hit that 15th of Sha'ban and the various benefits that are associated with the month of Sha'ban generally. Now what happens then? Right when the shock of Sha'ban arises and wakes us up, then all of a sudden, boom, Ramadan hits us. Within 15 days, right, within 20 days, within 30 days, if you count the beginning of Sha'ban, bam, we get hit by Ramadan. Then Ramadan is broken down into sets of 10, right? And what happens? So the first 10 days have their special blessings, and then bam, you get hit with the second set of 10 days, and then you get hit again with the third set of 10 days, and the whole universe is sent through that incredible mercy that's associated with Ramadan, which we discussed in previous sessions, right? All the greatness that's associated with the month of Ramadan. Now you sit down and you think about Ramadan, and you think about the benefits that arise in Ramadan, and you think about the mercy and forgiveness associated with Ramadan, and then you start thinking, there is nothing else that my mind can imagine. It's the extremity of mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would take people who are tied to the hellfire, whose deeds for 11 months chained them to the hellfire, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that He will forgive them based on 1 month of fasting and some standing in prayer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them and takes them out of that hellfire despite the fact that they were deserving to be there, and shows His infinite mercy by bringing them into the company of the people of Jannah. Now you sit down and you think, how great is Allah's mercy? How supreme is His mercy? How unimaginable and how extreme is His mercy that there is nothing left? That is the final aftershock. There can be no earthquake after this. That's the way you would think. But then, subhanAllah, amazing, just amazing, that the day Ramadan ends, literally the day Ramadan ends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throws the whole universe into the months of Hajj. Al-Hajju ashhurum ma'lumat. That Hajj is a set number of months, a known number of months, and those months begin when? They begin the day of Eid. Just imagine, actually the time of Hajj is a window, it's a 3-month window. The preparations for Hajj begin in that 3-month window, and all of it actually spans to peak at the actual day in Arafah. But Hajj begins when? Hajj does not begin with the first of Dhul-Hijj. Actually, Hajj begins with the ending of Ramadan, which is the month of Shawwal. Once Ramadan ends, the moment Ramadan ends, the whole universe, instead of going back down, peaks one notch higher into the incredible mercy associated with Hajj. Then what happens? The universe goes through Shawwal. Then the universe goes through Dhul-Qa'dah. And then eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala peaks the universe in His mercy in the month of Dhul-Hajj. So just imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's incredible and infinite mercy and the way by which He takes the entire universe and drives it through these circles of mercy. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's incredible, incredible blessing upon the community of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And actually all of this is the aftershock of His being sent. Now understand that Hajj actually is 3 months, as I mentioned. There are 3 months of Hajj. The period of Hajj, basically. So the period of Hajj begins with Shawwal, then Dhul-Qa'dah, and then Dhul-Hijj. So this is the 3-month period. Now in this particular period of time, an individual has certain responsibilities. In this time, they have to perform all the acts of Hajj. Now, the actual 5 to 6 days of Hajj, or the 5 major days of Hajj, are restricted to Dhul-Hijjah. But some of the acts can actually occur before that month, but they must occur within the timeline of Hajj. For example, once the day of the Shawwal comes, right? Once the month of Ramadan ends, an individual can enter into the Ihram. And once they enter into that Ihram, they can continue that Ihram, and it counts as the Ihram for Hajj if they make that niyyah. If I today put on Ihram, and I said, I'm going to remain in Ihram until Hajj, this Ihram that I would put on would not be considered acceptable for Hajj. So when we say that the time of Hajj begins with the ending of Ramadan and the first of the new month, what we mean is that the time to actually put the Ihram on begins. That's the earliest a human being can put their Ihram on in order to enter into the preparations for Hajj. But obviously the actual acts of Hajj have their particular days, and we'll cover that, inshallah, over the next week. But this is basically a reminder of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just His power in that He moves the universe this way, and His incredible majesty that He's able to bestow so much forgiveness and so much mercy upon a community that when you think that mercy has reached its peak, there actually is the next step of His mercy, which comes with the coming of Hajj after Ramadan. Now, the other thing to think about, and we'll just close on this point, the other thing to think about concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy in relation to the Hajj is that obviously this rotation occurs every single year. So every single year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the whole universe and runs them through Ramadan. And then every single year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the entire universe and runs them through the month of Hajj. Or through the months of Hajj, I should say. Now, that's incredible. Because number one, it shows you that you have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to make up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, fine, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you that chance once in your lifetime, just one Ramadan in our lifetime, that would be enough. That would be Allah's supreme mercy. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us not through one Ramadan, but through sometimes 10 Ramadan. Some people experience 50 Ramadan. Some people experience 80 Ramadans in their life. And so that's 80 opportunities to be drenched in the shower of mercy. And at the same time, the same exists with the Hajj. Every single year, the universe gets thrown into this timeline or into this situation in which the mercy of Hajj is showered upon the universe. And so that calling arises to us with every single rotation, right? So every year we have that opportunity to go and bless ourselves with the incredible mercies associated with Hajj. Now, over the next few days, basically, our goal will be to cover various aspects of the Hajj, including the historical aspects of the Hajj, the legal aspects of the Hajj, the spiritual aspects of the Hajj, and some practical aspects of the Hajj. And these talks will actually continue all the way through the remainder of Ramadan, inshallah. So this was just basically to lay down the foundation, to understand what are the months of Hajj, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power drives the universe through this incredible aftershock of mercy. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He give us the tawfiq to take advantage of these few remaining days of Ramadan, and that He give us the tawfiq to be among those who get invited to His home to perform the Hajj, so that we can take advantage of that incredible mercy that continues as an aftershock after the great month of Ramadan. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.